Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, I won't know you're with me unless you let me know. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to end this sermon with the truth about you and about me and about us. So I thought I'd begin with a lie. Here's the lie. It's a lie we tell each other all the time. And it's a lie we tell ourselves all the time. It's a lie we live by. Here's the lie. Most fundamentally, you are alone. We are alone. Our successes are ours. Our failures are ours. We're alone, fundamentally. That's a lie. There are 350 people here, more or less. That's a lie. How many people are here with us today? I couldn't count them. Thousands upon thousands are here with us. In spirit, a cloud of witnesses. In legacy. In treasure. Look at this place. Think of the hands, the genius, the imagination. Look at those windows. Think of all the people, all the knowledge, all the way back to the beginnings of human history and human architecture. All of that is here today with us. Thousands upon thousands. Next week, we'll go to the meeting house. You don't think those ancestors are here with us this morning? They're here. We just need eyes to see, senses to feel them. And we'll go to the meeting house in part to remind ourselves of that. That we are not alone, that we stand in this great cascade, generation to generation to generation. Let me tell you one story of one of your ancestors. His name was Samuel Sewall. You heard of that name? There's a great mural of Samuel Sewall. He's standing up. You can tell the setting is very clear. It's the Old South Meeting House. And if you come next week, 11 o'clock, the Old South Meeting House, you can take a look at that pew. It's the front pew right about here. He's standing up. He's standing in the front pew. He's a little stooped. His head's a little bit down, but he's standing with a kind of dignity and courage. His pastor is standing facing the congregation, reading a letter. See, Samuel Sewall, in the late 1600s, went to Harvard, but don't hold that against him. He went to Harvard, and of course, all his classmates, they became ministers. Because that's what you did. If you went to Harvard in the late 1600s, you were going to become a minister. But Samuel Sewall didn't. He bucked that trend. He was one of the first, one of the pioneers. And he did something that many of you are doing. You're following in his footsteps. He believed in God, in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in faith, in Christianity. But he went into business. That was his form of ministry. He had the training of all the other ministers. But he went into business. He became a leading citizen in Boston, in New England. He became a judge. And he served as one of seven judges in a little case you may have heard of called the Salem Witch Trials in 1692. Now, I know we're all still in the mood from Halloween and the witch's hat and how this place was transformed. But this was serious business. This was a wave of paranoia and superstition and prejudice, and hatred, and 19 people lost their lives. They were executed for witchcraft. Now, the ghosts and the goblins, they haunt. Well, Samuel Sewall was haunted by that decision, his role among those seven judges. And so as the years passed, he began to question that decision. He felt the tug of conscience at his sleeve, like you feel sometimes, like I feel sometimes, but of course we know what to do with that. We just talk to the right person and they let us know it's okay. And there was a wave of paranoia. It wasn't your fault. Any good person would have done the same thing. Just go on with your life. Well, that wasn't enough for Samuel Sewall. 5 years later, he approached his pastor. He said, I need to make a public statement of repentance. He wrote a letter. And that letter was read for the congregation in the Old South Meeting House. while Samuel Sewell stood right there in the Old South Meeting House, front row, a little stooped, his head down, but with a kind of courage, the courage that comes from telling the truth. He used strong language. He used the word blame and the word shame. He said, "The blame and the shame is mine." And from then on, he observed a yearly day of repentance. It wasn't just that one day. A day of repentance that he would remember and stand in the truth. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop with the conscience tugging on his sleeve. He didn't even stop with the public repentance. What does repentance mean? It means saying you're sorry. It means standing in the truth. But it means changing your life. It means standing with God and for God in God's great work. 3 years later, in 1700, Samuel Sewall wrote one of the first anti-slave tracts, one of the first public statements, a Christian argument against slavery. This is 1700, four generations before the Declaration of Independence, 10 generations before the Emancipation Proclamation. A few years later, he wrote another public statement calling for the humane treatment of Native Americans. A few years later, he wrote a public statement about the rights of women. I wonder if he ever dreamed of the pastorate of Reverend Nancy Taylor here at Old South Church. I wonder if he ever dreamed of the pastorate of Reverend Quinn Caldwell at Old South Church. I wonder if he ever dreamed of the pastorate of Elizabeth Meyer Bolton at Old South Church. I bet he didn't. But that's the point. He gave himself to God's imagination, something that went beyond his imagination. He put his shoulder to the wheel and he stood up for justice as best he could, a little stooped, but with a kind of strength and beauty that should be ours too. Before we get too self-congratulatory about our pastors and our lack of belief in witchcraft, well, there are superstitions today, are there not? There is an idea, a paranoia, a hatred among Christians, among many. It says that Muslims, because they're Muslim, are worthy of fear. Can we stand up against that? Can we take our place and take responsibility, take blame and shame where appropriate, and then stand against that kind of superstition, that kind of paranoia? If we can, say amen.
Amen.
I know the hole has been plugged at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico, but the damage has been done, and who knows how long until the next leak. Have you heard about the plastic soup in the oceans? Millions of square miles of ocean, God's blue oceans, plastic soup, just floating there, little particles of plastic. It won't break down anymore, but those are little pieces of your Ziploc bags and mine, your water bottles and mine. And that is blameful, and it is shameful. And can we stand up and take responsibility for that, not only to say we're sorry and stand in the truth, but change our lives and move into God's future? If we can, say amen.
Amen.
This is one of the most beautiful cities in the world, one of the most wealthy, wondrous cities in human history. And there are children here who are hungry. Men and women who are hungry, who are choosing between medicine and food. That is blameful. It is shameful. We dare not stand aside and wag our fingers. We are responsible too. We need to say, we are to blame. The shame is ours. And we must change our lives if we can. Say amen. That is the tradition toward which we are called. That painting of Samuel Sewall, you know where it is? It's in the House of Representatives, right here in Boston, right up on the wall. It's called The Dawn of Tolerance. Well, dawn is not the day. Tolerance is still dawning today. There is still work to do. There is still truth to tell. There are still lives to change, starting with our own. Samuel Sewall, in his way, consecrated his life. We must do the same today. You say, well, I'll never end up on a mural in the House of Representatives. Well, that's probably true. But that doesn't matter. Because there's another artist, the Holy Spirit. She can paint. And she is painting you into that great mural, and you are standing, and you are beautiful. You're a little bit stooped, your head's a little bit down, but it's clear, your courage is clear. Your faith in God's imagination that it will take you farther than you can even think to go is clear. Will you take your place in that great, beautiful mural? Will you take out your checkbook or your list of accounting expenses that you keep in your head? You know, socks, transportation, rent, mortgage, eating out. And will you add this? Will you add clean oceans? Will you add a world where strife between religions is history? Will you add that? But keep going. Will you add a city, the city of Boston, where every belly is full, where no one has to choose between medicine and food? Will you add that to your list, your budget? Will you take up the language of the great poet, the prophet, Isaiah? Future generations, no children dying, no more crying or pain or cries of distress. Will you write down on your personal kitchen table budget, new heavens, new earth, God's vision for creation, for humankind, for us? That's the framework. That's the context. That's how we should think about what to do with our treasure. Not in a small way, with narrow imaginations, but in a bold way, in an audacious way, to say, new heavens, new earth, my treasure will be shared in that way, because this is the truth about you, and the truth about me, and the truth about us. When we are long gone, there'll be others. Future generations will come, generation after generation, and they will gather, and they will struggle, and they will celebrate, and we will be there too. Our gifts, our treasures, what we give today will make tomorrow possible. New heavens, new earth. And that new Jerusalem, you know, in the great poetic, mysterious language that we inherit from the prophets, the new Jerusalem will have mural after mural after mural. And you'll be there, and you'll be there, and I'll be there. And those murals, standing up, a little bit stooped, head down, courageous, strong, leaning into God's beautiful future. That story is going to be told, friends. The story of 21st century Christianity in Boston is going to be told. Let's take our place in it. God calls us to that place with the ringing gospel of a new heaven and a new earth. Friends, church, thousands upon thousands, all of us together, future generations and past, us gathered here, let us say it, that beautiful word, amen.